Into Jeremiah chapter number 4, Jeremiah chapter number 4 this morning. As you're turning, I ask you to remember those in prayer that are away. I know Adam and Pam are traveling. The kids are dispersed with other folks, but be much in prayer for them as they're traveling. They're in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Pam told me this morning it was warmer there than it is here. So you be much in prayer for them as they go. And for anyone that has ever thought about it and has never went, Jubilee at Gateway Baptist Church in South Carolina, Brother Ray Stewart's church, is at the end of this month. It's the last week of this month. If you've never been to Jubilee and you can get away and go, I guarantee you it will be a life-changing experience. It's one of the most awesome services we've ever been in. And everybody that's been there, they have it every year. Everybody that's ever been there talks about the same thing, about how awesome the services are. They have services in the morning. They'll have lunch, and then they'll have services again in the evening. And I tell you what, just, man, some great preaching, just some great fellowship, just a great time in the Lord. If you've never been and you want more information, let me know. I can get you the information. And me and Miss Deb been thinking about going, amen, again. And it is just an awesome, awesome time. And I tell you, you talk about vacation. People go on vacations to go here and to go there. I tell you what, you go on a vacation and go somewhere where you can just get under the hearing of God's word and focus on God's word for a while, it'll stir your heart. It'll change you. I guarantee you. Our last vacation we took back in the fall, that was what we did. We went. People say, well, I went to the ocean and I went to the mountains. Well, we went to the mountains and went to Jubilee. Amen. We went to hear some preaching and our hearts got blessed and our hearts got thrilled and spent the day fellowshipping sometimes with some of the preachers that preach and some of the folks there. And, oh, God just thrilled our heart. I tell you what, you know, right down here we call it a vacation. Amen. One day we're going to call it home. You know. One day down here, you all look at it as revival or a meeting. Amen. One day that's what home's going to be about. It's just praising God. Amen. Worshiping Him. So be much in prayer about it. If you can go, go, and I know you'll be blessed. And turn in your Bibles in Jeremiah chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And just want to welcome everyone out for first Sunday of the new year. And I tell you, we had an awesome New Year's service last week, and our hearts are really blessed. And just encouraged in the Lord. Got to be in an awesome service last night where we got to see two young men ordained. And one of them, Brother Brian Woods, had preached here not too long ago, at the end of October, preached youth services here morning and evening. And he does an awesome job. And Brother Derek Rowland, he's with the Mercy Project, and he represents the Mercy Project a lot for the GPA. So just pray for these two young men that God would just use them greatly. If you found Jeremiah 4, would you stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word? Brother Jimmy thought he was standing alone. Sometimes, brother, you just need to stand alone. Amen. I told the young men last night, Brother Jimmy asked me to bring my guitar, and they thought Deb was coming, and I wasn't going to take it. She made me take it anyway. She was sick, and I got up there, and Brother Jimmy wanted me to sing, so I sung He's All I Need. And I told them young men, I said, you know, sometimes in the ministry, you're going to stand where there's no one, even your wife don't understand. Yes. Amen? Yes. Sometimes you're dealing with things, and even your wife don't understand why you're dealing with things the way you are. And you seem like you're alone, but as long as you got Him, you got all you need. Sometimes, brother, when you're standing alone, as long as you're standing with Him, you got all you need. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in Him, and in Him shall they glory. Listen at verses number 3 and 4. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among the thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because the evil of you doing. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? God's people are people that are peculiar in this world. They're peculiar in this life. And you can look at them many times and you can almost see the Lord popping out of them because they just exude that godliness about them and that peace and that contentment. We have been in the hospital many times, and maybe I've had my smaller Bible and have had it tucked away somewhere and got on an elevator, and someone would look at us and they say, you're a minister, aren't you? And I wasn't dressed in any certain way, just, you know, maybe a pair of dockers and a nice shirt to go visit the hospital. But they look at it, and for some reason they just say, you're a minister, aren't you? I said, yeah. They said, would you pray for my loved one? You know, it's just something that shows. Amen? You ever been somewhere and you just seen somebody and you said, they have to be a Christian because it just showed in their life. God says he wants us to be that way. In verse number 4, he says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your hearts, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doing. He said, you know, we need to be identified again as God's people. The circumcision was a sign that was given to God's people that separated them from everybody else. It identified them as God's people from everyone else. Amen? And God is saying here, circumcise your hearts. He's telling us in our hearts, not in our flesh, not in our actions, not in the things that we do, but in our hearts, our lives need to reflect our relationship of who we are. Amen? We're the children of God. But in verse number 3, he tells us there's some things we can do to prepare ourselves to identify as the children of God. If you ever ride up through Amish country, you can spot an Amish farm right off. Amen? The way they maintain the property, the way they maintain the ground. It's easy to spot. It's easy to distinguish an Amish farm from an English farm. Amen? You see, in an English farm, you see virtually everything is just plowed down and sown, most likely in one thing. But you see, the Amish, they still practice the rotational farming in sections and in strips, and especially on the hills, the terraced farming. You'll see one section that'll be plowed and planted in corn, and the next section down the next 100 or 200 feet will be left to grow into grass for hay. And then the following year, you come by the same farm, you'll see the things have been changed. That what was grass last year is planted now this year in corn, and what was corn last year is now allowed to grow in grass. And it just distinguishes their farms, and you can spot them right off, and you can ride by and you know it's an Amish farm. But then you ride by some places and you just see that they're plumb run down. Amen. You say some redneck owns that. Come 21 District Lane. Amen. I'm working on it. Amen. I'm working on it. The fences are old and worn down, slowly replacing them. The barns are in bad shape. We're slowly working on it. Amen. Everything around there needs work. Everything around there needs something done. There's nothing pretty and nothing beautiful. It all requiring work. But you ride by and you say, there's Pastor Dennis's farm. That's where he lives. Folks know me, say, that's where Dennis Gilbert lives. Yeah. They know that's my place. But God tells us there's some that are just totally neglected. And that's what had happened to Israel. They had neglected their relationship with God. They had neglected to take care of the things in their lives that they needed to take care of according to the Word of God. God had gave them a prescription for all the things that they would deal with in their lives and how to deal with them. Just like he's given us a prescription through his word and how to deal with the problems of life. You know, many times we say our kids never came with an owner's manual. Yeah, they did, right here. Prescription for dealing with our kids. Amen. I'm just human. I didn't come with a manual on how to deal with things. Yeah, it's right here, the Word of God. He has an answer for everything you'll deal with in your life. As a pastor, I've learned that this is the authority for everything in my life. And I deal with problems. I deal with problems according to the Word. Amen. I deal with problems that I allow God to move in and show me through His Word or by His Spirit how to deal with. And I deal with things that way. We can't neglect in doing things the way that God wants us to do. And that's where Israel had come to the place where they had neglected their spiritual life. They had neglected their relationship. They had neglected from the heart to take account of who they were and where they were going and what they were to do according to God's word. That's why he said to circumcise yourselves and take away the foreskins of your heart. Amen. It's an inner thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual walk that we need to deal with. And the first thing we need to understand that before we can begin to deal with the fallow ground, and if you don't know what fallow ground is, it's not them pretty Amish farms. It's not them pretty mega farms where everything is sown in corn for acres and for miles as far as you can see. It's not the little hobby farms like some folks call mine that are just taken care of. Got some animals running around and taking care of them. It's fallow ground, a ground that is not been taken care of, and it's been left to grow over and to grow out. It's full of trees and saplings, and the rocks have pushed to the surface and are just making it impossible to do anything. The thorns and the thistle has grown in. The multiflora rose sometimes so thick that you can't get through. That's fallow ground. It's ground that isn't pretty to look at. But the thing about it is we need to examine our own ground and examine its condition. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You know, many times we run around and we worry about what's going on, as we've been talking about this in Sunday school the last couple of weeks. We worry about what's going on in everyone else's life, but we haven't taking stock of our own lives. Amen? He said, let every man prove his own work. Let every man look at his own heart. Let every man look at his own ground. Look at your own farm. Before you start complaining about my farm, look at yours. Amen? You don't know the work that's went into my farm and the money that's been spent in my farm, the effort that's been put forth in my farm so far. Amen? You might think I'm doing nothing, but I'm doing a lot of things. Amen. Some of it you can't see. Some of it you can see. But I'm working on my place, and I'm not worried about what's going on in my neighbor's farm because I'm too busy about what's going on in my own farm. And that's the way we need to be with our own lives. We was talking about this in Sunday school this morning, how Jesus used the analogy of looking at the speck or the mite that's in someone else's eyes, and we got a mote or we got a pole sticking out of our own. Amen. And I brought this up, and God just gave me this thought. You know, it don't matter how little, and we compare sins in little and big. God don't sin a sin. Amen? But we like to compare our sins. And we like to look at someone else's sin and think about how big that is. And we look at our own lives and think, well, my sin, but I'm not nothing like that. And God just gave me this thought. You know why he used the analogy of the mote or a pole sticking out of your eye when the fellow down the road has a grain of sand in his? It's because it don't matter how small you think your sin is. Your sin is much larger and much more important to you than his sin is. Your sin is going to have an effect on your life. Not their life. Now, it can adversely, but your sin is what you're responsible for. Your sin is what you're accountable for. Your sin is what's hindering your walk and your talk and your relationship to God. Your sin is what's keeping you from being fruitful and productive with God. And we need to take and examine our fields. We need to look at our lives and see if our lives have been allowed to go fallow, if they've been neglected, and we're allowing little sins to fester in our lives because we're looking at someone else's. And trust me, someone else is looking at your life. And trust me, we all have a tendency to look at someone else's. Amen? You don't believe that? Turn over in the Proverbs for a minute if you want to follow along with me. Over in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 and 32 says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. Amen. Let me tell you something. You might neglect the things in your life. You might neglect the sins in your life. You might let your spiritual life go fallow. You might let your spiritual ground grow up with thorns and nettles, and the walls of your heart and your life be broken down, and you might take it for granted because you're too busy looking down the road at someone else's, but everyone else is walking by and they're seeing your heart. They're seeing your life. They're seeing your testimony. They're examining you. And most importantly, God sees it. Amen. We worry about what other people were doing when we need to be worrying about home. Amen. We need to be worrying about our own place. You see, fallow ground is something that we all need to deal with. And all of us have fallow ground in our lives. Amen. Mike and Tammy live in a wooded lot there. There's places on their lot that it's fallow, it's just left natural, isn't it? Brother Joe, he's got property over there. Kirk's, what's that road up there? Water Wheel Drive. And there's places in his yard that's not manicured like a golf course, I'm sure. Places that are left natural, left fallow. There's places over at my farm. Amen, plenty of them that are fallow. But you know, I look at them and I see the need. I look at the fields and I see the trees that they're trying to grow out into the fields, trying to come out over the fields and try to shade the fields. And I know there's things that we have to do. We go back and we cut back and we trim back and we try to keep the fields from, the woods from encroaching upon the field and overtaking and letting the land go fallow again. We got to be active. We got to be proactive in making sure that we maintain the land the way that it should. And that's the way we need to be in our spiritual lives. Amen. We need to take care of the fallow ground. God said, break up that fallow ground. Quit being complacent. Quit being apathetic and quit just allowing things to happen. Fallow ground is unfruitful ground, and unfruitful ground is unusable ground. Amen. And praise God, we need to break up the fallow ground. Here's the gist of the message. Clearing fallow ground is hard work. You know, you got trees that have grown up. You ride around and you see farms that were once big productive farms, and the houses are abandoned and the fields haven't been farmed or kept up, and pretty soon you see the brush growing, and then you see the trees coming up and things that are taken care of. Fallow ground requires a lot of work. When the folks first settled in America, it was fallow ground, and they had to put a lot of work and a lot of effort in to making the ground such as would produce fruit and produce crops that would generate the income that they needed or the means that they needed to survive. And one of the first things they had to do was to log out the trees. You know why? Because the trees shade the light. They shade the sun from the plants that are trying to grow. amen, that they would cut the trees down and they would log them and they would make them into something useful. And you know, we each have things in our lives spiritually. We each have some old things that have been growing there spiritually that we can take out of our lives, but we can use them for something profitable if we look back and see the mistakes that we made in allowing them things to grow in our lives, amen, and making sure that we prevent them from growing back. Over in 1 Thessalonians 5, the Apostle Paul says, we don't walk in darkness because we're not the children of the dark. We're the children of the light. We walk in the light. You know, we got to make sure that we take those things out of our lives that keeps the life or keeps the light of the gospel, the light of the preaching, the light of the songs that are sung that glorify God. We need to take those things out of our lives and make sure that we remove them from our lives. They keep the light from shining in our lives. But once we cut the tree down, we're not done there. Then the really hard work begins. Amen? I can look back on my mistakes. I can look back on the things that I've done that have hindered God being able to allow me to be used and to be as fruitful as He wanted me to be. I can look back on them, but you know what the hard job is to root the stumps out. Amen. If you've never had to grub a stump out, you don't know what real hard work is all about. Amen. You got to dig around that thing, and you got to dig and dig the dirt away and get down to all the main roots and get down to that tap root all the way in the bottom. You got to expose all them roots. And sometimes a tree this big, you can have a hole half as big as this church, it seems like, by the time you get the roots far enough to where you can cut them things, to where you're able to hitch something up to them or dig them far enough to where you can chop them to pull it out by yourself. It is work. It's hard work. Man, you see, even big machines have trouble grubbing roots out. Man, I've pushed trees down. I've had the misfortune of having to get roots out and get stumps out after people cut the tree down. That was the hardest thing. I did that right out here. And Brother Rick remembers that mess. Amen. That was a hard job. That was a lot of hard work. Because now you have nothing to leverage against. But you got to dig and pull. Dig and pull. I spent hours out there with my tractor and front end loader and grade box moving around them, getting the ones out that I could. Ones I couldn't, we just cut off and left them there. Amen. But it's work. Even with big equipment, I've seen bulldozers struggle trying to grub stumps out. Over at the hunting club that I belong to, Rogues Harbor Hunting Club, we got 1,200 acres that we hunt over here off Belvedere Road. I haven't been over there in years, but they had a field that had been allowed to go fallow there. And there were places where I had to take my tractor and we had cut shooting lanes down through the trees and we kept them mowed and kept them maintained, but the trees growed up and the trees grow up quick. But then they had a fellow come in and said he wanted to farm it. So they told us we couldn't hunt it anymore. They was going to farm it. And the man brought big bulldozers in there, big old ripping claws on the back of the tractor. And they went down there and they pushed all them trees down and pushed them up in a pile. But he had to go back. And you watch him going down through that field trying to rip them stumps out and to rip that junk out. And that big old dozer would catch a hold of that stump and it would just spin that dozer right around. It's hard work. But you know, if we leave the roots of those things that shade the light of the gospel in our lives, in our hearts, they're always going to be coming back. They're always going to be trying to throw shoots up and grow back. You remember in the story of Nebuchadnezzar, when God turned him into a wild beast, and the analogy was the tree that was cut down. They said, but they're going to leave the stump, and the stump's going to grow a shoot. And that tree is going to grow back again. You remember that? That's just what happens. You know, we got to take those things that we have allowed to shade the light of the gospel in our lives, and we got to cut them things down and log them and use them as examples not to go back to. Use them as the things that were a hindrance to us. Look back and see those things that kept us from having the right relationship with God that we need to have. But we need to make sure that we've cut the roots out so we don't allow that thing to grow another tree while we're looking at the log. Amen. Amen. We got to get them on out of our lives. He said, break up that fallow ground. Before you can break the ground up, you got to get the trees out of the way, and you got to get the stumps out of the way. Amen. And then you got to plow that old hard ground. But before you can plow that ground, you still got more work to do. Because you got underbrush, those thorns and those thistles that try to grow. You remember Jesus talking about the parable of the sower? And he said, some of the seeds fell among the thorns. He said, the seed is the word of God. He said, but the thorns choked it out. Amen? As hard a work as digging and grubbing stumps out, grubbing underbrush out is just as miserable. Especially when you get into the thorny stuff. Man, that mountain laurel, if you're in the woods and you got that laurel in there, that's not so bad to deal with. It's just got all kinds of roots and mats all up, and it's hard to cut down sometimes, and it's not so bad. But man, when you get into the thorns and you get into the thistle, hey man, it hurts because it fights back. Hey man, it's got a defense mechanism built within it that's called a briar. Amen. I wear, most of the time, anybody comes up around me knows, most of the time I wear gloves when I'm working, not because I'm afraid of getting my hands dirty, but I only got one set of hands and I try to protect them as much as I can. Amen. Man, I wear good heavy gloves, and I get to dealing with the thorns and the thistles sometimes, and it just pushes right through the gloves. It fights back. You know, the devil's going to fight you in everything and every aspect of your life that he can to choke the word of God out of your heart. Amen. He's going to put things in your life, Brother Joe, that will just choke the word of God out. If you don't take care of it and you don't maintain it and you don't ensure that you keep that mess grubbed out of your life and you keep that stuff out of your heart and out of your life and not allow it to grow and not allow it to have the ability that it has to choke the word of God out. We all have those things. Worldly pleasures that we esteem greater than our time with the Lord. Amen. Worldly cares that if we're not careful cause us to focus more on them than we do the things of God. Sister Sherry brought it up. I'm going to use this. Sister Sherry is good. She brought it up this morning as we go through our spiritual walk. If we're not careful, we get in a routine. We allow the routine to choke out the reality. Well, God, she was talking about her prayer list, how she gets up and faithfully goes through her prayer list every morning, and she just realized this week how God is answering so many of these prayers. But we get so focused, amen, we get so focused on the routine that we miss the reality. Why is that? Because the routine is choking out the reality. Amen. We got to make sure we don't allow things to choke out what God is doing and how God is moving, how God wants to work. We allow God to allow us to be fruitful in our spiritual life. How can we be effective praying if we don't think God's answering prayer? We're going through the routine of prayer and we're missing the reality of all the prayers that He's answering. Amen. What keeps us praying? Because we know God answers prayer. Amen. What keeps us praying? Because we know God hears every prayer that we pray. What keeps us on our knees? Because we have a burden for our family and for our friends and for our loved ones. And we want to see God do what only God can do in their lives. And we want to pray for them, but we don't want to let our routine choke out the reality that God is actually doing something. Amen. We got all kinds of things that choke out the reality of what God is wanting to do. And if we're not careful, we get negligent and we let the ground go fallow. And here comes the briars and the thorns. Last year, my neighbor took the field next to me, and he had been planting it in corn and soybeans, and he decided to go ahead and plant it in hay. And he went and he sprayed and he killed all the vegetation. That's the first thing you got to do is kill what's there so you can plant what you want and it grows. He sprayed it and, man, it looked nasty. It all browned up and was just everything dead because of the spray that he'd sprayed to kill everything. And he come back and he went in and he sowed his seed for his alfalfa hay and he planted it. And, man, when it was coming up, it was looking beautiful. But then all of a sudden, all over the whole field, something ugly started popping up. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, well, you probably had to go through and pull it. He went through and started pulling it, and he says, too much to pull. Too much to pull. He said, but I can't let this keep growing. I said, well, spray it again. Find you something that'll kill the broad leaf and not harm your alfalfa. Blah, blah, blah. But the thing of it was, he just didn't go and plant things and walk away and leave it. He realized that there's things that are going to keep trying to come up. Things that are going to keep trying to come back. Things that are going to keep trying to choke out his good alfalfa grass. There's things that are going to keep trying to come back, those thorns and those thistles that are going to choke out the word in your life. And they have a tendency to make you get discouraged because the word gets choked out. They have a tendency to make you get apathetic because the word gets choked out. They have a tendency to make you forget all that God has done because they've done choked out what the word has tried to do. He said, break up your fallow ground. We got to clear the trees and grub the stumps out and grub out the underbrush. And then we can plow. No, can't plow yet. Still got some more things in the way. I got rocks. Rocks that have to be removed. Rocks that have to be taken out. Rocks that sometimes are bigger than what you're able to deal with. Amen. I was a project engineer on a job we was doing up in New York, working down through the Bronx. And we was undercutting track. It's a big machine that takes all the stone out from under the railroad and it sifts it out, sorts it out, and puts the good stuff back in, throws the trash away, and blah, blah, blah. Well, up there, you don't know what you're going to run into. Man, we run into tunnels from railroads that had been defunct since 1900. Were buried, and you'd run into them. And I probably hold the record for the least feet of track undercut in a shift than anybody on the railroad. We was undercutting up there one night, and we hit a rock. And generally, you just start lowering the bar till you go under the rock, and you go under the rock, or you cut through the rock. Carbide teeth on this thing. I mean, it's just a massive, giant. It's almost as big as this half of the sanctuary, isn't it, Brother Steve? I mean, it's huge. Wasn't cutting through it. Back up and go deeper. Back up, go deeper. Back up, go deeper. I undercut a hole so deep I could walk under the railroad. And we hadn't reached the bottom of that rock yet. When the day shift crew got there, they said, man, you're still where we started. And I said, you seen what I've been trying to cut through? They said, why didn't you just jump it? I said, I don't know how big it is. They said, well, it's got to come out of there. And I'd ask about jumping it, and they told me they didn't want to jump it. They wanted us to go and try to cut around it, cut under it. I couldn't get that rock out of there no matter what I did. So the next day we come in and they worked on it a while. And they wound up going to the other side and digging, finding the edge of it, and they dug all the way around it. Make a long story short, we wound up having to bring in a giant piece of equipment to hook to it to drag that rock out from under the track. I mean, this thing was huge. Just one big old giant hunk of granite. You know, sometimes that's the way we are in our spiritual lives. There are things that are so big, rocks that are so big. I got rocks up my place. Anybody needs rocks, you come see me. I got all the rock you ever want. I've got stone walls built out of rock. I've got piles of rock in the woods that's been drug out of the field for years. I've got rock everywhere. I've got rocks so big that I can't pick up. Josh and Bryson help me up there, and sometimes they get up there. And I get rocks that they together can't hardly move. You know, trying to move them and put them in places and trying to make something useful out of them. And that's the way in our spiritual lives. There's plenty of rocks there. And some of them we can deal with ourselves. There are some rocks that we need just to get and take them out of our lives and remove them. But there's some rocks that we need help with. There's some rocks that we need more than what we're able to do with. We need some more power. Sometimes we need to ask the brethren, amen, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not opposed to asking y'all to pray for me. I know me, and I know I need prayer. Amen. I'm not opposed to looking at God and say, God, I can't do this. God, I don't have this. But I know that you do. Amen. God, I need you to remove this rock. You see what the danger is? Some people say, well, just leave it there. You can't leave rocks there. They destroy the equipment. Amen. Man, I've got a 6-foot rototiller on the back of my tractor, and you think that thing's going to eat anything. You hit a rock. I mean, it rocked the whole tractor. I'm talking about a rock maybe that big. I've dug up, tilled up rocks that big. Amen. You plow and hit one of them big old rocks and watch what it does to the plows and the coulters. It breaks them. It tears pieces off of them. It tears up the equipment. Not only does it destroy the equipment, it prevents things from getting good root. Jesus said some seed fell on the rock and it sprung up for a while, but when the sun came, it withered away because it didn't have a good root. Amen. It didn't have a good root. We need to get the rocks out of our spiritual lives. Those things that seem so permanent, those things that seem so impenetrable, those things that seem so immovable, and we need to find the help that we need to find to get them out of our lives, because they hinder the working of the Spirit of God. They hinder and hurt what God is trying to do because we haven't taken time to get the rocks out of our heart and the rocks out of our lives spiritually to get them moved on to where God is able to do the work that He wants to do. We've allowed our fields to become fallow. We've allowed the rocks to remain, and there's some rocks that we're carrying into 2018 that were in our life in 2017, and we haven't taken the time to get them out of our lives. If you can't move them, ask some friends to pray with you. Tell your pastor you got a rock. That's all I need to know. I don't need to know what it is. Just tell me you got a rock. Just look at a brother and sister and say, I got a rock I need you to pray about. Go to God and say, God, you need to move this rock. Lord, if you need to send me help so I can get it out of my life. God told them to break up the fallow ground. He'll send you the help that you need. Amen. He'll send you what you need. But you got to break up that rock. Then you've got the trees out of the way. You've got the roots out of the way. You've got the underbrush out of the way, the thorns and the thistles. You've got the rocks out of the way. You don't just go sow your seed. He says you got to break up the fallow ground. It's become hard. It's become packed down. The seed can't penetrate. The seed can't germinate. The seed can't grow. We can move all the things in our life that are hindering us, that all the things that we claim are keeping us from being unfruitful in our spiritual lives, all the things that are keeping us separated from God, all the things that are keeping us from being where God wants us to be, and not break up the fallow ground, not break up the hardened soil. Why did God say Israel had so much problem? Because of the hardness of their hearts. Amen? They had a hard heart. They had hardened their hearts. Why do God's people get so complacent? Why do God's people get so nonchalant in their worship and their relationship to God? Because of the hardness of their hearts. We got to work on our hearts. We got to keep our hearts tender to the Word of God. Our hearts tender and tuned to the things of God, that God's will might be accomplished in our life. He said, break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that each of us possess, each ground that each one of us have, that we need to take time to consider and to survey. Fallow ground is ground that is unfruitful for anything that is productive. Fallow ground is ground that's unusable. In Hosea, God tells Israel, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Timothy said, spiritually, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Every one of us, no matter who we are, have an area in our life that's not fruitful because we've allowed it to go fallow. Every one of us, somewhere in our lives spiritually, have got ground that we've held back, ground that we've not yielded, ground that we've not surrendered. You can be the greatest Sunday school teacher, the greatest preacher, the greatest deacon, the greatest singer, the greatest church. Everybody can look at you and say, man, what a church member. Man, what a Christian. What a man of God. What a woman of God. What a young person of God. What a young man of God. Young woman of God. Whatever it might be. But what is that fallow ground that's still in your life that you've not broken up to allow God to yield fruit through? Sometimes it's just our attitude. Not that we're sinful or that we're, but sometimes we just don't humble ourselves and yield ourselves totally unto God. Man, I was sitting at the stop sign this morning at Principio and Red Toad Road, one of the most dangerous intersections in Cecil County. And you've definitely got to watch. Look, you got to look that way. You got to look that way. You got to look that way again. And then go. Because there's a hill there, and they come flying down a hill faster than what they should be traveling. And they'll come off of that bridge on the other side. They'll come around that curve and come around that bridge faster than what they should be traveling. And I'm sitting there, and a car had just passed me. And I was looking to make sure there wasn't, because I'd looked that way to make, I'd already looked up the hill. But I looked that way, and here come the car. And I waited to hear me pass. And the car hadn't, I don't even think is, back in, had passed the front of my car. And this little snot behind me went, meep! I lost my spirituality right then. My wife says, was he beeping at you? I was going to stop and ask him what his problem was. But I could see me beating this guy up, and the report would be, yeah, this big fellow with the church that said, how great thou art. Amen. You know, people are watching your field. Amen. You know, I'm just being honest with you. And I'm praying all the way down the road, Lord, I know that was a bad attitude. On the way to church. The pastor's trying to get spiritual on the way to church. Amen. But don't we all have those areas in our life? And you know, the older I get, the less tolerance I have for it. I got up this. I got up this morning and come downstairs, and I had a lot of things going on in my mind. Brother Charles was without heat, didn't have heat, and I was wondering if what I could do to help him and blah, blah, blah. I wanted to go down and get wood in the furnace. I fired the furnace up this week just because I like the wood heat and the coal heat. It just makes the house feel so much warmer when it's cold. And you know, I got a lot of things on my mind. I go down and I hit the alarm, and I hit the wrong number on the alarm. The next thing I hear is, so, you know, I punch it, and it finally quits. So usually you get a phone call, and they ask you what the secure word is and all this junk. And, you know, I didn't get a phone call. So I said, well, fortunately, I got that in time. Well, a little bit later, my doorbell rings. There's a dude out there. Look, somebody wanting to hunt or something, you know. My door's county sheriff sitting there. He said, yeah, we got a report. The alarm went off. I said, you shouldn't. I said, it did go off. I said, I hit the wrong code, wrong buttons this morning. I had a lot on my mind. I hit the wrong button. And I said, they normally call and ask for the code word, and they didn't. So I just assumed that I had corrected the problem. He said, well, you didn't. He says, but I've never come to a robbery where the thief was standing there in a suit and tie. People are looking at your field. Amen. They look at the way you dress. They look at the way you talk. They look at the way you act. They look at how you control your temper. They look at the way you treat others. They look and see what's going on. I passed by the way of the slothful man, and I beheld, Proverbs 24, and I beheld. See, people are watching. And we've all got these little areas. I can have my whole farm cleared. All 53 acres could be planted and have one little spot that's not. And it's unfruitful. It's unfruitful. Amen. We can be the same way in our spiritual lives. Fallow ground is unused ground. The briars and the thorns and the thistles grow up, and we don't go in there for anything. A few rabbits and foxes and groundhogs might hide in there, but it's no use for anything. What's the area in your life? Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song. What's the area in your life that you've allowed to go fallow? You know, we talk about all the big things there in the middle of the message. We talk about the trees and the roots and the stumps and, you know, the thorns and the thistles and the underbrush and the hard pen. And we think about the whole farm. We think about the whole big picture. Well, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I got a right relationship with God. I know my sins are under the blood and everything's fine, but is there an area in your life that you'd like to see improved? An area in your life that you would like to see become fruitful? An area in your life that you'd like to see God be able to take and use in a great and awesome way? An area in your life that you don't want people riding by and passing by your way? Say, I've seen some thorns and thistles in the field. I've seen their fence was broken down. I've seen their vineyard was overrun because we've become so complacent that we haven't taken the time to worry about loss. He don't want just the most of you. He don't want just the big parts of you. He wants all of you. And he wants to use you wholly to be fruitful. As we stand this morning, heads are bowed.